Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful morning that you've given us to gather here this morning to hear another portion of thy word and sing songs. Praise your great name, Lord. Be with us as we go through this service. May everything we do be in accordance with thy will. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Birthday. I know one
guy right here.
I need
you.
Okay.
You
said young.
They are.
This side is
young. Young, though.
We are old on the side. I think I'll stay over here.
Okay, I didn't see you.
You're on the young.
Another granddaughter.
Another granddaughter.
They're everywhere.
They're everywhere. You're right. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday. Announcement.
Yeah, I just want to do a reminder. Memorial Day's coming up, and we have our normal ceremony at Camp Nelson. So just a reminder for that. It's 11 o'clock on Monday. You can make it. We always have a pretty good ceremony there. So, thank you.
Anybody? Brother Lee.
And Chuck, what time does that ceremony start?
It starts at 11 a.m.
Okay. Thank you. Your prayer list is pretty much up to date. One correction, Jody Vickers is going to see her doctor tomorrow instead of the 17th. Not yesterday, but tomorrow. And just a word on Roy and Connie Williams, they did get a trip to Florida to maybe perk them up a little bit, but while they were down there, Connie caught some kind of a virus, and she was pretty sick, and now Roy has it, so they're dealing with that, but otherwise, why, their things are pretty much the same. Have you noticed from time to time the Red Cross advertises a shortage of blood supply for people that are having surgery or have accidents or have certain illnesses? Sometimes they plead for volunteers to come who have a particular type of blood because not all blood is the same. There are different types, and some of the types, if you mix them, they don't give good results. So they'd like to have people with type O negative blood. That's type will mix with any kind. And people that have that kind of blood are called universal donors. Spiritually speaking, we are all in a life or death situation. Because of sin, we all need a universal donor. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ became for us at the cross. The blood of the Lamb of God is the only type that can wash away sins. And His blood is sufficient for all people, all times, all places, all sins. There's never been, there never will be a shortage of this blood. So we remember Jesus as we share the bread in token of His body and the cup in token of His blood shed for us to make us acceptable to God.
Thank you.
Our Heavenly Father, we're grateful for this beautiful morning to be here in this church this morning. Lord, we are grateful for everything that you provide for us. We live in a part of the world where the blessings are needed, and we can go by anywhere and buy anything if you have the price to pay. But Lord, we also want to thank you for giving us something that the price has already been paid. And Jesus paid that price by being led to the cross and crucified, not for anything he did wrong, but for things that we have done wrong and not followed your word. And we realize that was an ultimate sacrifice, and we partake of these elements every Sunday that we're here to remind us of that. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Father, we come again thankful for the blessings that you give us each and every day. Lord, we know we have neighbors to the south that are suffering, and we ask that we'd be mindful of them, and you be with them and be present in their lives this terrible time. We're thankful for, again, this church and all that it stands for. We ask now that you accept these gifts to be used in this church. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray.
This perhaps should have been on our prayer list today. I know you want to be praying for the folks to the south of us who were hit with tornadoes yesterday in London and Somerset and that area. Some of them are in very difficult shape, so keep them in your prayers. Let's turn to number 128 and sing Wonderful Words of Life. Let's sing along with that song, number 227, At the Cross is the name of the song. Thank you. Number 224 is our prayer hymn this morning, and while we sing just the first verse, let's stand together for prayer. Merciful Father, we thank you for the grace, the mercy that you extend to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And while we do not deserve such goodness, we thank you with all our hearts, Lord, because there is no other from whom we can find it. Thank you for the words of truth you've given us in the Bible. All around us, there are voices telling a story that's different from your word, insisting that things are changing, and what used to be is now old-fashioned and useless. Father, we know that many things in our lives will change, but we believe that your word will always be true. It's the truth that can make us free. Our faith is based on truth. So we honestly confess our sins to you. We try to be honest. We do not pretend to be better than we know we really are. When we share the good news of salvation, we tell what you've given us, not what we would like for it to be. We try to speak truth. You expect us to be true and forthright and honest in all things, Lord, just as you've always been with us. So help us to be totally true in all our doing and speaking. We thank you for the Savior who lived your truth in every way. He's kept every promise he ever made. And he will come again, we believe, just as he said he would. So we want to open our lives and our hearts to you this morning, trusting that our sins are forgiven, our hope secured by our Savior Jesus. For we pray in his blessed name. Amen. I had an unfortunate experience, and probably some of you have had similar happenings in your lifetime. My wife's car needed a couple of tires, so she took it herself to a tire dealer near us, and they put two new tires on it. And after the tires were done, they said, "Now we feel like we need to tell you, you really need brakes badly." So she said, "Well, I'll tell my husband." And she brought the car home. And we took the car out. Excuse me. We took the car out to the mechanic I've been using for about 40 years. And he looked it over and he said, "Well, I would say you probably have another 20,000 miles left on those brakes." We never did go back to that tire dealer again. We're always looking for an honest person to work on our cars, aren't we? If our home needs repairing, we look for an honest contractor. If our roof leaks, we look for an honest roofer. If our house needs painting, we look for an honest painter. If we need an electrician, he needs to be honest too. Not any of us want to deal with a dishonest man or woman. That's just the way it is. We look for honest people that we can trust. We've heard all those stories about contractors getting a large down payment for a job and then never returning to do the work. But we look for people who will be honest in all their dealings. People whose walk matches their talk. People who keep the promises they make and whose word is their bond. Now we're looking for honest people to deal with, and you know God is too. He's no different from us in that respect. And Christian people should be the most honest people on the face of the earth. We have every reason to be honest. Sports Illustrated told the story of a 7-year-old boy. He was just learning to play the game of baseball. Now, I'll read you the story. The game was played in Wellington, Florida. Some of you have a close relationship with the game of baseball or softball, and this will mean something to you. This 7-year-old boy was playing first base. His name was Tanner Munsey, and it was his first time playing the game. But he fielded a ground ball, and he tried to tag a runner going from first to second base. And the umpire, who was a woman, Laura Benson, she called the runner out. The young Tanner immediately ran to her side, said, "Ma'am, I didn't tag the runner. I missed him." So the umpire reversed her decision, sent the runner to second base, and Tanner's coach gave him the game ball for being so honest. 2 weeks later, Laura Benson was again the umpire, and Tanner this time was playing shortstop. A similar play occurred, and this time Benson ruled that Tanner had missed the tag on a runner going from second to third. And Tanner looked at the umpire, and without saying a word, tossed the ball to the catcher and went back to his position. But the umpire sensed something was wrong, so she went to Tanner and she said, "Did you tag the runner?" And he said, "Yes." So she called the runner out, just on the word of the shortstop. Well, the opposing coaches protested. They didn't think that was right. Until she explained what had happened 2 weeks earlier, and then they agreed the boy probably was telling the truth. He was a truthful young soul, and such honesty God approves of. But where are all the Tanner Munseys in our world? Some of them must be hiding. Does anyone tell the truth anymore? George Gallup did a poll. He's a statistician that takes a lot of polls. But he said the number one cause of stress in our lives today is not the lack of money, and it's not the breaking down of relationships. It's the inconsistencies in life. It's saying one thing and doing something else. It's the constant conflict within each person that causes stress. I think it's true. I think that's true. It's sometimes the stress gets almost unbearable because we're saying one thing and doing something entirely different. A police officer pulled over a speeding car. The officer said, "I clocked you at 80 miles an hour, sir." And the driver said, "Well, gee, officer, I had cruise control set on 60. Maybe your radar gun needs recalibrating." That's not a wise thing to say. His wife was sitting in the passenger seat. She was knitting. And she looked up from her knitting and she said, "Now don't be silly, dear. You know this car doesn't have cruise control." As the officer is writing out the ticket, the driver looks over at his wife and he growls, "Can't you please keep quiet for once?" The wife smiles and says, "Well, you should be thankful your radar detector went off when it did." So the officer is making out a second ticket for an illegal radar detector, which was not legal in that state. And the man looked at his wife again and said through clenched teeth, "Woman, can't you keep quiet?" The officer frowns. He says, "I notice you're not wearing your seatbelt, sir. That's an automatic $75 fine." The driver said, "Well, you see, officer, I had it on, but I took it off when you pulled me over so I could get my license out of my back pocket." The wife says, "Now, dear, you know very well you didn't have your seatbelt on. You never wear your seatbelt when you're driving." And as the police officer is writing out another ticket, the driver turns to his wife and he barks, "Will you please be quiet?" And she says, the police officer stops writing for a moment. He says, "Does your husband always talk to you like that?" And she said, "Oh, no, only when he's been drinking." Now, isn't it true that honesty is the best policy? Don't you agree? I'm always amazed, though, at the National Enquirer and publications like that. Rather, I'm amazed that some people actually believe the outlandish things that are printed in them. Just like I'm constantly amazed at some of the things posted on Facebook. And I wonder what satisfaction someone would get by posting things that are so obviously false. What fun is that? I don't know. But some people get a reputation for lying. And that's not a good reputation to have. It's like Jim had an awful day fishing on the lake, sitting in the hot sun all day and never caught a single fish, but on his way home, he stopped at the supermarket, ordered 4 catfish. He says, "Pick out 4 large ones and throw them at me, will you?" And the clerk said, "Why do you want me to throw them at you?" And he said, "Because I want to tell my wife I caught them." "Why is that?" Well, the clerk says, "I suggest you take the orange trout." He said, "Why is that?" "Because your wife came in earlier today and said if you came by, I should tell you to take the orange trout. That's what she'd like for supper tonight." Some people you can see right through. And you know they're dishonest. But honesty is important. And it's one of those things that I don't think we talk a lot about it in church. But it's something that's terrifically important. Because dishonesty has become widely accepted, but it should not be for the child of God. Somebody said some folks are so dishonest that when you shake hands with them, you want to check your fingers and see if you still have 5. Dishonesty is a big term. It's expressed in many different ways. There's the fib. There's the white lie. There's the half-truth. There's the clever deception. There's misleading information. There's stretching the truth. And there's outright exaggeration. I think a lot of people. And Paul Ekman, professor of psychology at the University of California Medical School, who's been studying lies for 20 years, I think he agrees with me that some people don't even realize when they're lying. Have you ever started Have you ever been startled to hear yourself say something that's sort of an exaggeration without even thinking about it? It's not that you began the conversation with the intention of saying something that wasn't true, but before you know it, you found yourself embellishing the story a little bit. Well, that could be true. Have you ever been dishonest about the time you worked? Have you ever cheated on a test? Some of you haven't had a test for quite a while, I expect, but have you ever lied to get out of trouble? You don't have to raise your hands. Have you ever complimented someone when you didn't really mean it? Have you ever kept silent when you should have spoken up and told the truth? Have you ever made yourself appear better than you really are? Have you ever lied to gain an advantage or get your way in something? Have you ever misled someone just to keep from being embarrassed? Have you ever lied about why you missed church? Truth I'm talking about is not just truth telling, it's truth living. Truth living. There's a passage in the prophet Jeremiah. It says, "Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now, and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if you can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment, that seeks the truth, and I will pardon it." You suppose Jeremiah found an honest man in Jerusalem? Well, I don't know. But the question is not, did he find it? The question is, are you honest? Am I honest? We're told the average person lies about 13 times a week. I don't know who compiled these statistics, but that's probably a good guess. 13 times a week. Now that means, of course, if that's the average, that means that some people lie a whole lot more than that. And some people not so much. But it was sort of like the preacher that told his congregation, "Next week I plan to preach about the sin of lying. And help you understand my sermon, I want you all to read the 17th chapter of Mark's Gospel." So the following Sunday, as he got ready to preach his sermon, he asked for a show of hands. How many read the 17th chapter of Mark? And almost all the hands went up, to which he replied, "Mark only has 16 chapters. I will now proceed with my sermon on the sin of lying." But have you been completely honest for the past 24 hours? This is what we need to ask ourselves. Because we follow Jesus. Jesus called himself the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's a good example of honesty in the 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And this is written by the Apostle Paul, who at that time, the church in Jerusalem was having a very hard time. And Paul was out traveling from church to church, gathering up a collection for the church in Jerusalem to help them. And when he wrote to Corinth in 2 Corinthians 8:16, he said, "I thank God who put into the heart of Titus the same concern I have for you. For Titus not only welcomed our appeal, but he's coming to you with much enthusiasm and on his own initiative. And we are sending along with him the brother who is praised by all the churches for his service to the gospel. What's more, he was chosen by the churches to accompany us as we carry the offering which we administer in order to honor the Lord Himself and to show our eagerness to help. We want to avoid any criticism of the way we administer this liberal gift, for we're taking pains to do what is right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of men. So Paul is going around collecting all this money, but he's surrounding himself with trustworthy people to make sure that there's no question about how the money is handled. And that is probably a very good idea. A similar instance in the book of 2 Kings in the Old Testament, when Joash was king of Judah, he noticed that the temple was in need of repair. The mortar was falling out from between the bricks, and the walls were crumbling, and the water damage was evident. There was trash and debris all over the place, so he starts a fundraising program to fix up the temple. He places a chest at the entrance door of the temple with an opening in the top so people can drop in their offerings. And when the chest became full, the money was given to the building superintendents so they could pay the carpenters, the stonemasons, the quarrymen, the timber dealers, and everyone. What do you think these building superintendents did with the money? Well, if that had been the year 2025, some of them probably would have pocketed some of the money. Others would use the money to pay off some old debts they had. And still others might try to keep several projects going at once on the side. But how did Joash's building superintendents handle it? Well, in 2 Kings, we're told, well, let me read it from the Amplified Bible. They did not require an accounting from the men into whose hands they placed the money to be paid to those who did the work, for they acted in good faith. They were honest, trustworthy workmen. So there was no accounting required. That's the kind of people I want around me. People that don't have to be watched closely. That's example of honesty. And a very good example. Honesty is always the best policy. It can be embarrassing, you know, if you stray from the truth. Like the lady was coming home from work and she stopped at the corner deli to get a chicken for supper. And the butcher reached into a barrel and grabbed the last chicken he had, put it on the scale behind the counter, and told the woman how much it weighed. And she thought for a moment. She said, "I really need a little more chicken than that. Do you have any larger ones?" Well, without a word, he took the chicken off the scale, put it back in the barrel, and reached around like he was trying to find another one. And he pulled the same one back out and put it on the scale, said, "Well, this one weighs 1 pound more." And she thought for a moment, and then she said, "Okay, I'll take them both." Honesty is the best policy, folks. Honesty makes you complete, real, genuine, authentic, bona fide. We want to live in the light and not in the dark. And notice in 2 Kings it said they acted in complete honesty. We all want to be complete, completely honest. Because in the end, people are not going to remember you for how much money you made or for your title at work. They're going to remember what kind of person you were. That's what lasts. And of course, The best reason for being honest is that it pleases God. We should practice honesty because it helps us get along better with other people, but we should definitely practice honesty because it pleases our Heavenly Father. We should walk in the light. Proverbs says, lying lips are detestable to the Lord, but faithful people are His delight. And I'll tell you, no matter where you look these days, you'll find untruth. It's not hard to find. In our government, our politics, our judicial system, our businesses, our schools, many people's idea is if you can get away with it, more power to you. If you don't get caught, then dishonesty is okay, but that's not true with God. Because we abide as Christians, we abide by a different standard, and we have a different guide. So I would challenge you, try living deliberately, an honest life, for the next 24 hours. Be conscious of it. See what happens. Make your word your bond. Match your walk with your talk. Keep the promises you make. Now, that's not always easy, I think. It takes a lot of concentration, but it might be worth it. I read about something that happens in Basel, Switzerland, each year. They say the good Protestant people have a festival in which they all wear masks and they go through the city doing things and going places they would never consider doing or going under normal circumstances. Everybody's wearing a mask. Nobody knows who anybody is. And it's just like, do whatever you want for this one day. Because it emboldened people to do things they would not otherwise do. One year, the Salvation Army, concerned about how immorally people were acting, put up signs all over the city. The sign said, God sees behind the mask. And ain't that the truth? Jesus often began his statements with verily, verily I say unto you. You know what that means? That means truly. What I'm saying to you is true. He was always true, always honest. He said He would suffer on the cross for us. He said it and He did it. That's integrity. He said He would return one day to take us with Him if we're faithful to Him. He said it, and He will do it, because He is honest. And I pray that you'll be among those for whom He has prepared a place, that you'll be among those whose sins He has forgiven, that you'll be among those whom God finds honest and upright through the blood of Jesus Christ. We're going to sing our hymn of invitation, which is number 441. If there's a need in your life for a Savior, then we'd invite you to step out. While we sing the first and last verses, thank you. Let's pray. Thank you, dear God. Thank you for this hour of worship and fellowship. Thank you for a time when we can examine our own hearts and seek your grace. As we leave this house, we pray that we'll have that closer walk with you day and night, and our fellowship with one another will be unbroken. In the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.